What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. I know you guys are feeling RDH because you did not get that GMM from the both of us at the same damn time, which we will explain in 1 second. But first, I must know, hello, Claudia. How are you, Dern?
I am Dern good. Let's talk about it. Let's just talk about it. We are podcast only today, even though we have been, like, you know, riding in the studio with every intention to finish out this gorgeous year in studio, but shit is wild here in New York. We've got a preggio, and we're just not about to be, like, reckless with Omicron.
Yeah, so cases are going crazy in New York. We're going on vacation in a few days. I'm already nervous, and one, I don't want anything to, you know, hinder our vacation, and two,
of course,
I really don't want to be getting COVID right now, so we decided to do the last two shows from home to be extra safe, because just in the last week, things have really ramped up around here.
Yeah, I do think SantaCon was a huge catalyst.
Was a super spreading event.
Was a super spreader event, and, like, everyone I know has COVID right now. And I honestly just can't believe I don't have it and that I haven't had it yet. I think there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, do you have FOMO? Because, like, you're the only one.
Well, I do think that people who have had COVID, especially somewhat recently, can walk around with a little bit more of, you know, more confidence, more protection. And yes. I don't have that confidence. I have to make up for that confidence in other ways. So I would definitely be feeling less vulnerable.
Your confidence. I'm not worried about your confidence levels in general.
I would definitely be feeling less vulnerable if I, like everyone else, had COVID in, like, the last 6 months.
Yeah, I get that for sure.
So, but here I am, literally just the healthiest human alive.
Oh my God, don't jinx yourself.
Oh, you're right. Knock on wood.
Nut job.
It's just weird. Like,
yeah. I mean, maybe COVID just, like, doesn't like you, doesn't want any part of any of that.
COVID wouldn't be the first person to cancel me.
Okay. Well, we still have a great show for you guys today. We're still going to make, what was that?
Of course.
We're still going to make the most of the end of the year, and I'm very sorry. I'll take the hit on this one. It was my call, and I made the call, that I was most comfortable with. So here we are, back to remote life.
Jacqueline, you need not explain you protecting your unborn child, okay?
Thank you, Claudia. That's beautiful.
LC deserves the best.
He does. He really does. And also, you know who else isn't complaining? Bruno.
You know what? I always, whenever we talk about your baby, because, like, you know, some people don't announce, like, the gender of their child, I'm, like, pussyfooting around pronouns, even though I forgot you fully, like, told everyone you're having a boy.
Yeah, but I still always just call the baby Elsie, and Elsie is a very girly terminology. It sounds like a name.
I refer to this child as a she all the time.
No, I do. Like, I feel that way, too. And Elsie sounds like E-L-S-I-E. Elsie.
Yeah, no, Elsie. It sounds like a gorgeous, gorgeous name.
Yeah, so I understand the confusion. I do. And sometimes I refer to, like, my bump as a female, not the baby, but just, like, Preggio is looking like so, she's so cute.
That, you know, makes sense.
So I can see that it's confusing. I think I've done that sometimes on Instagram, and people are like, aren't you having a boy?
No, totally.
And I'm like, yes, Karen, I'm having a boy.
No, I just have to text my husband. Like, I forgot, I never podcast from home anymore. He is so fucking loud just on a call. Like, we'll probably hear him, like, chatting. I'm podcasting.
Do you think we'll hear some deals being made today?
Hear what?
Hear some deals being made in the background?
I mean, hopefully that we should be so lucky to be making some deals on the Thursday before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited for the holidays. I know all of you are, too. So let's just get into this episode because that will get us through the day, gets us closer to Friday, gets us closer to the weekend, and you know how it goes from there.
We have an amazing show for you guys today. Of course, as always, we are delivering the Fast Five stories that you need to know. And we are also talking about Real Housewives of Orange County last night, which was full of just like bombs being dropped. Do you agree?
Yeah, it was a very interesting episode. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm still feeling really good about the space that Orange County is in. I'm just a little confused about some things, which I think you and I will be able to clear up, you know, just talking through the issues.
Well, you and I are constantly clearing things up, so that should come as a surprise to nobody.
Constant. It's constant. Other than
that, it's honestly exhausting to be constantly clearing things up for everyone.
Before we jump in, though, how was your day? Anything, any updates, life, personal, that you want to share with the class?
What the fuck did I do yesterday? I really don't remember. All the days, when it's winter, like all the days become one. I didn't really do anything of value yesterday except like answer emails and lay in bed. And I had pasta for dinner. That didn't sit well with me. So what I spent a majority of the night on the toilet. Yeah.
Ew, what kind of pasta and who made it?
I mean, it was a gorgeous local restaurant that I don't want to slander, but it was Serafina.
Right. And you told us yesterday you were going to be ordering Serafina.
I'm a woman of my word.
You know what? I think I'm going to blame you for this one. Like, Serafina is tried and true. Maybe you're...
Yeah. I don't think it was necessarily what I ate. I think it was the pace in which I ate it. Like, I sat down at the table like I'd never seen food before. Mm. And I just went to town on this pasta and this pizza. And even if I was eating, like, salad, that's just not a normal way to inhale food. Like, it was a full binge.
Damn. Okay. Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Slow the fuck down.
Yeah. Wow. That's really wild. Sorry about that.
It kind of ruined my night.
Yeah. It's ruined my night too.
And your morning. How was your day?
My day was good. You know, it was pretty chill and I was just reading a lot. I'm reading The Family by Naomi Kapitsky. I told everyone that and I'm still reading it and I'm not loving it as much as Dana recommended it. So that's where I'm at with that.
She's imperfect.
She really is. She's quite imperfect.
She's imperfect, but she tries. That's Dana.
Okay, let's jump right in. We've got a lot to chat about. So without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. I was like waiting for someone else to do the crunch. I'm like, you.
Jackie, have you learned nothing about this world? If you want something done, you have to get it done yourself.
Thanks, Claudia.
Which is why today's sponsor is Spritz Society, the brand we needed so desperately we created it ourselves. Spritz Society is the Spritz Perfected, a sparkling cocktail made with real wine, real flavors, and real ingredients, made by a bunch of real bitches, us. It's an absolutely delicious, award-winning sparkling cocktail, and it's about making your best days even better. Spritz Society is made in Sonoma with 100% real sparkling wine from California, and it's infused with natural flavors. Each 8.4-ounce can contains 6% alcohol content and 120 calories. And we believe every toaster should have Spritz for the holidays. That's why everything on SpritzSociety.com is 15% off today. And if you order through Friday, it'll still be 15% off, and you'll get it in time for the holidays. So you get 15% off. And again, if you order between now and Friday, you get that discount and you'll get it before the holidays. Shop from four delicious flavors, grapefruit, blood orange, pineapple, and lemon. And if you've already tried Spritz, now is the perfect time to subscribe and be stocked up on Spritz all day, every day. Head to SpritzSociety.com, SpritzSociety.com. Get 15% off site-wide today through Friday, December 17th. And don't miss out. Check it out. You'll not regret it. You're going to love the flavors. You're going to love bringing them as a gift. It's the perfect thing to drink. And ever since we started this brand, I have seriously not drank one other thing except tequila. I can't lie.
Also, my husband likes to combine. He likes to make like spritz and gin together. So there are some fun. You can make like craft cocktails using this as a kind of a mixer. And it's like a delicious elevated vibe. So please enjoy a spritz for those of us who can't this holiday season, namely me.
When we were day drinking the other week, the restaurant we were at sent us a free bottle of champagne, and I had snuck like a couple of spritzes in my purse, and we put the grapefruit spritz with the champagne. It was so good.
That sounds really good. So bubbly.
Spritz, the perfect drink to put in your purse.
Spritz, the perfect drink to drink with other drinks. give those to Ben. See if he wants to run any
billboards.
Yeah,
I'll send them to the marketing team. The marketing department's all over it.
Now, finally, when we come up with a slogan at the end of an ad read, we can give it to someone.
You know, Jackie, I actually feel like we were kind of born to be like ad agency girlies.
I could see us in those roles. But you know what? It's not that far-fetched because like our business is social media, which is a form of marketing, which is a form of advertising. You know, it's all under the same umbrella.
You know, in the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, when they're just like sitting around the conference room thinking of like different slogans, like that's literally what we do for free on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, in another life and like before I did any of this, like that really was my job. Like I was that girl who was like coming up with like punchy hashtag slogans for like brands.
But you know what else? Like working in advertising is actually not that. Ben worked in advertising for like 8 years before Spritz. And it's actually like the worst. Like you don't do any of that. You like RFP people and you like just spend your whole day like buying media on websites and shit.
Yeah, no, it's not like the wheeling and dealing of Don Draper.
No, not at all.
No. Okay, are you ready for our first story? Some crazy news. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but Jeff Garlin is exiting the Goldbergs after an HR investigation of on-set behavior. So this has been an ongoing story.
What?
I want to share all the details because it's detailed. Actor Jeff Garlin will not return to ABC's comedy series The Goldbergs following a string of misconduct allegations against the actor and an HR investigation into his on-set behavior. Two sources close to production confirmed to Variety that it was a mutual decision that Garlin would not return. Garlin had recently addressed allegations against him in an interview with Vanity Fair, acknowledging that an HR investigation into his on-set behavior had been ongoing for the past 3 years and dismissing a rumor that he had been fired from the series. This is what he said. He said, "Well, to be honest with you, there is no story. We have a difference of opinion, Sony and myself. Okay, my opinion is I have my process about how I'm funny in terms of the scene and what I have to do. They feel that it makes for a, quote, unsafe workspace. Now, mind you, my silliness making an unsafe workspace, I don't understand how that is. I'm always kind and thoughtful person. I make mistakes, sure, but my comedy is about easing people's pain. Why would I ever want to cause pain in anybody for a laugh? That's bullying. That's just uncalled for." So he is being cited with like emotional and verbal abuse on set.
What? Okay, like what? When I hear misconduct or like you've been asked to leave, I always think like sexual.
Yeah, no, you think the worst.
But that's not it. Basically, he was just being like a dick?
Yeah, I think they have like a difference of opinion over like what's, you know, funny workplace jokes. And he was creating an unsafe space with his version of those things. And I guess after a lot of complaints and like an HR investigation, like they thought it better that he leave over this.
Well, that's crazy because, first of all, he's been on the show since its inception. He's one of the biggest stars on the show. I know he's one of the highest paid people on the show. And he's like one of the better characters. So I do think that the show will suffer creatively. But I just find it interesting that, like, this is where Hollywood draws the line because, you know, if you read Dumois, you're just, like, obsessed with celebrity culture. You know most A-listers, like, are animals. Like, they're unbelievably rude, disrespectful, condescending. So I wonder what it is that he had to do to actually get fired because some of the most famous people in the world who get tons of gigs are awful.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, in the absence of explicit examples or things that, like, they're just saying, like, they don't like his, you know, behavior, general attitude, and I'm sure he probably has this like old school way of making jokes that like are you know considered unsafe for, you know, younger people or millennials, whatever. But this seems a little extreme.
Well, because it's so vague. Like if we knew what the fuck they were talking about, maybe we would be like, oh yeah, he should go. But leaving us to our imaginations, it ain't helping.
Yeah, I agree. It just makes me think of Curb.
Of course.
Obviously, because it's also Jeff Garlin, and I do hope that they work this into some sort of episode, because that would be extremely on the nose.
Yeah, but what's funny is, like, Jeff Garlin would never get fired from Curb, because it's such, like, an old school comedy. It's, like, the exact dichotomy of, like, old and new. Like, ABC, like, all these young kids. Cable is very, you know, sensitive, and HBO and Larry are like, they don't care. So it's funny that he's on two shows that I think really express the dichotomy we're currently discussing.
Right. I'm sure Larry and Jeff are like, you know, rolling their eyes at this right now. And also, yeah, he was on two extreme shows that, like, you would think, like, you have to be different on set for both of them. But I guess he was just going to be himself on both. You know who I would like to hear from on this?
Wendy McClendon Covey?
No, better. I would like to hear from Yancey, and I would like to know if on the set of Sleepover, if Jeff Garlin was making it an unsafe environment.
I had absolutely no idea where you were going with that, because I totally forgot that Jeff Garlin was the dad in Sleepover. And that kind of just highlights his really impressive resume thus far.
Yeah. No, I'm a Jeff Garlin girly, so this is like...
It's very bizarre.
It's very bizarre. And again, in the absence of like real examples, it's hard to feel motivated to be like, yeah, down with Jeff Garlin.
Get him.
Like, just because he made like bad jokes that people don't like.
Right. Like, were they racist? Can I get a little bit some detail?
No, they were just making people uncomfortable.
How so?
Right. I don't know.
Well, so, you know, I know he was making a lot of money from that show. Like, that's definitely a bummer. The paycheck.
Yeah. That's but, a great know, show. I like mean, I don't watch it. Like, I haven't watched it in so long, but I used to. And it's just, like, so fucking funny.
It is, except I do have, like, one major problem with it. Okay. And my problem with it is also my favorite part of the show.
Wendy McLeod-Levoy, like, not being Jewish, being a Jewish mother.
Yeah, so the
mother.
Show is basically, like, an 80s Jewish family. And the mom, who's really the center of a Jewish family, she's known for, you know, the cooking, the gossiping. And Wendy McClendon Covey is an amazing character. But her character ain't Jewish. Like, she just gives me no Jewish vibes whatsoever. So in that way, I feel the show lacks a little bit of authenticity, but it is still just like a hilarious, great, funny, you know, harmless sitcom.
I agree completely. But it's like, I'm okay with it, but it is a plot hole.
Yeah. It's a plot hole for sure.
Okay, well, we'll see what Jeff does next, and we'll keep you posted if anything more surfaces from this story as opposed to the vagueness of the Variety article.
I feel like it won't. Like, they've said the limited thing they're going to say, and they're moving on. Like, I don't feel like we're getting, like, a whole investigation into this. Because also, like, nobody cares.
No, like, the investigation has been ongoing.
Right. No, the investigation's done.
No, yeah, this was the result. Good day. Okay, next up, Zendaya pens a sweet tribute to, quote, my Spider-Man, Tom Holland. So Zendaya took to Instagram on Wednesday to give a shout out to Tom Holland ahead of the release of their new movie, Spider-Man No Way Home. In the post, the actress shared two photos of the actor in his Spider-Man suit and said, quote, my Spider-Man, I'm so proud of you. Some things never change. And good thing. Oh, that's really cute. These two have obviously sparked dating speculation for years, and their romance was confirmed this past summer when they were photographed kissing in a car. I mean, people live for these two.
Live, eat, sleep, breathe, and die. And I'm not one of those people, but I'm so happy for those people because they've recently been like extremely public. Like, I've been seeing all over my TikTok, the Spider-Man premieres were all this week and they were just being very PDA. They kissed, you know, they were both wearing their masks and everyone was like, mask kiss.
They kissed in their masks?
Like masked. Actually, Zendaya was not wearing a mask and Tom was wearing a mask and she kissed his mask, which is actually really unsanitary.
Beyond. I didn't see that. That would have changed everything for me.
Whatever. All I'm saying is the Spider-Man premiere has been this week, and so there's been like a lot of moments that we're getting from them.
Yes.
And for the Zendaya Tom stands, like, that's more than they've gotten in the last 6 years. So very, very happy for them.
I'm happy for them too. And I believe that like they are dating based on, you know, what we've seen so far. But it is giving like a little bit, maybe she got this from Zac Efron, but like Zac Efron in a movie with a leading lady who he's trying to convince the world that he's dating vibes, because it's good for the movie. I feel like once this movie comes out, like these two might, you know, peter out a little bit and they're playing it up. You know, it's same with like Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, though that was extreme. Like the movie has more interest when you think that the leads are dating. So even though I think that they probably have like been romantic, I think that they're also playing it up because it's really good for movie sales.
I want to say two things. One, I do think Zendaya is above that because she has been in so many films where, like, even Greatest Showman, like, everyone was like, her and Zac Efron loves her. She wouldn't give into it. So, like, if she hasn't done it in the past, I don't imagine why she would do it with this particular movie, which has such a cult following, Marvel, DC, whichever one it is. Like, people are going to see Spider-Man no matter what. I don't think it needs that boost. And there have been other movies Zendaya has been a part of where it could have used that boost.
I agree that Zendaya is above it, but I think that because they, like, genuinely are probably, like, hooking up, dating, whatever, she doesn't mind playing it up because it is coming from a real place.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And everyone wins. Like, we're in love and our movie's making more money.
Right. And people are saying that this is going to be the movie to break, like, the box office COVID curse. Like, this one is going to hit.
Oh, I actually believe that. Someone just told me, they're like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, nothing. Like, I'm going to see Spider-Man alone. I'm like, why? But people, like, have, like, bought tickets, like, months in advance.
Yeah, I think this movie's going to be huge and do what West Side Story couldn't.
Which was shocking. And I've actually been seeing a lot of people talking about the West Side Story breakdown of it all. And how, like, a lot of this failure rests on the shoulders of Steven Spielberg.
How so?
Well, because, you know, if anyone was going to break the curse, it was going to be Steven Spielberg. And there was, like, all this pressure. And if there was all this success, it was going to be given to Steven Spielberg. But the fact that there was all this failure, it's a sword that swings both ways.
That is so true. Because it's like, if there was all this success, it wouldn't have been given to Ansel Elgort.
No, and honestly, it wouldn't have been given to Rachel Zegler. It's like, oh, nobody, Spielberg does it again.
100%.
So with that success comes, like, the burden of failure.
Damn, Steven sucks.
He couldn't bring us out of it. But I do think Spider-Man, it's always those types of movies, the comic-con movies, you know?
Yes, of course, exactly. So these two are cute, and, you know, if your ship is out to sea for them, like, I'm so happy for you. I'll see you on the open seas. You know, I'll be cruising.
We'll wave.
Like, I'll be ship jumping. So
yeah,
maybe we can sync up.
You're a pirate. You're a pirate, like, going onto people's ships.
No, I'm just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. Like, I'm just, like, ship hopping.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been so many Spider-Man iterations. Like, which Spider-Man is, like, your, like, the Spider-Man that you reference?
Probably the only one I ever saw, which was, you know, him and her, Kirsten Dunst and Toby. Yeah.
I think that will, like, always be my Spider-Man.
Yeah, but it's just about, like, what age you were. And, you know, if I saw more than one, maybe I would have a different frame of reference.
I think there was one before Peter. Not Peter. That's the name of the movie. Before Tobey Maguire, right?
Definitely. This is a tale as old as time.
Yeah. You know, what do you think about Tom Holland being shorter than Zendaya?
Well, I saw headlines about it, the shortness, before I saw a picture. And then I saw a picture and it's like, he's not that much shorter, you know? It's not like Chrishell and Jason Oppenheim. Like,
yeah, that's bad.
And, like, Zendaya is so tall. So I think, like, Tom Holland's also probably tall. I don't think he's ever, like, had a complex about his height before now.
No, but and when they're on red carpets, she's always wearing heels.
Yeah, and I think it's better that she's wearing heels as opposed to, like, insulting him by wearing flats.
Yeah.
And why Zendaya is, like, not going to wear be on the red carpet in flats.
No, and just what is your philosophy on, like, this whole thing, like, boys being shorter than girls? Because, like, personally, like, I really don't think it's a big deal. And I like how people are, like, girls I know are, like, so, like, red flag, he's short. And then it's, like, not a red flag that he's, like, the meanest man alive. You know, like, they care about the wrong shit. Like,
yeah. No, I totally agree. It's hard to, because I'm so short.
Right. This has never been a problem for us.
It's never been a problem. So it's hard to, like, put myself in that mindset, you know?
Yeah, but I just think, like, people should be worried about other more important red flags than the fact that, like, he's a little short.
I completely agree.
Justice for the short guys.
Look at you.
I've changed my tune ever since the Reddit days.
Yeah, look at you.
Have I shared that story on the podcast?
Yes, I think that you have. I think you also talked about it in your book.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Zotique. Do you think that's the case?
100%.
Are your years of acne yet still struggling with the dark marks and acne scars that time left behind? Zotique Skincare is artfully crafted for all skin types and uses scientifically powered ingredients to deliver the complete results your body deserves. Zotique's new Deep Correcting Serum provides the benefits of lactic acid with zero irritation on your face. Combined with cutting-edge skincare technology to deliver the purest vitamin C effortlessly to the layers of the skin that need it the most. This new Deep Correcting Serum promises skin that is smooth as silk, free from redness, and a visible reduction of acne scars. So whatever issues you might be struggling, I personally struggle with a lot of redness, especially in the cold months. Lactic acid is like the best ingredient, and that's what's in the Zotique Correcting Serum, and you will feel visible results after you use it. Like, remember when we did our makeup tutorial and you told me my skin was like so soft, Jackie? Mm-hmm. That was from the Zotique Deep Correcting Serum. And they're offering 15% off their breakthrough Deep Correcting Serum at ZotiqueSkincare.com when you use code TOAST15. So the website is Zotique Skincare, Zotique Skincare.com, code TOAST15 at checkout. Your order is shipped free to your door with guaranteed results before the last drop or get 100% of your money back guarantee. Go to Zotique Skincare.com and enter code TOAST15 for 15% off.
Awesome. Okay, our next story, Flavor Flav is talking about that iconic evening with Kim and Pete. He said he was honored to be...
Oh, Jackie, I thought you were talking about that iconic evening with Pumpkin in New York.
Oh, a second most iconic evening with Kim and Pete. He was honored to be Pete's birthday gift at the party with Kim. So Flavor Flav told Entertainment Tonight, when it comes down to Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian, first of all, to me, that is family. You know what I'm saying? He said, the whole night, I was so honored to be in their presence. One thing I could say is that Pete Davidson loves himself some Flavor Flav. Everything he does is Flavor Flav this, Flavor Flav that, Flavor Flav this, Flavor Flav that. Wow, that's a mouthful. So Kim said, okay, well, for your birthday, you're going to have Flavor Flav. She sent for me, and that's how I ended up there.
She sent for me. Like, what does that entail? A limousine?
Yeah, he said, I was the birthday gift, and check this out, being that man had so much love for me, I did something for the first time ever in my life. I took my clock from around my neck, and I gave it to him, and I never gave a clock to nobody.
Oh my God, that's so special.
That is really special. I mean, we had so many questions about this, you know, gathering, and this makes it all make sense. And the fact that, like, Kim would get Pete a birthday present like this, you know, his favorite person just to hang out with for the night, is so romantic.
It's really thoughtful too, because, you know, when you reach a level of celebrity, you can get, you know, as many Birkin bags as you want, but at some point, like, you have all these material items, like, they start to mean nothing, and you have to get really creative when you're really rich with gifts. And I think that this is, like, really sweet, especially you have to consider these two have not been together that long, so you don't want to go over the top and, like, you know, hella romantic when it's like you've been on three dates, but you also want to, you know, make the person feel special. I think this was such a good gift.
Such a good gift. Honestly, the Kardashians, and especially Kim, like, they're so good about creative, thoughtful gifts. Like,
yes.
And I think also, I mean, Kanye was too. Just really, like, over the top. It's so sentimental. Even, you know, like, Kim doing all those outfits for Chris for her birthday. It's like,
oh yeah. Remaking that video.
Remaking the video, renting out the old house for, you know, she's so, so good about it and she's thoughtful. Like, and she spends her money, like, in the best ways possible. Like, cause these are all still, like, really expensive endeavors. It's not like she's getting them a teddy bear and being like, it's the thought that counts, you know, but just really thinking everything through. It's really a great skill to have.
They are her joy and pride.
Yeah. Damn.
You know what? That's actually a very, very good call. I forgot about the house. I think that's probably, of all the things that Kim has done, the one that, like, really, I think, moved me the most, like, renting out that old house that they all grew up in. You're right. Like, they're great with, and of course, those things cost a lot of money, and you have to be, like, you know, very powerful to do it. But it's nice to see. And they do the materialistic Birkins and all that stuff, rich bitch. But they also do the nice sentimental stuff because they're family, and that's what they value.
Yeah, it's really, really sweet. So that's just another point in the column for Kim.
Totally.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
Speaking of a bad gift, Vanderpump Rules' Lala Kent reveals her engagement ring from her ex, Randall Emmett, is fake after getting a 6-carat diamond tested following the split.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday, Lala put out a podcast episode that I've been meaning to listen to. I just like haven't had the headspace. And then today, a podcast episode with Kim Kardashian and Barry Weiss came out. And so like that got bumped up to the top of my list. So I was listening to that this morning. But Lala did a podcast episode where she is going in on everything, including the fact that she found out that her 6-carat diamond from Randall was fake. She said... Yeah, she admitted on the podcast that she's finding out new things daily about the film producer that are such a, quote, punch in the gut following reports that he cheated on her. On her podcast, she discovered that her ring wasn't real through a series of events. Before their split, she overheard a conversation Randall was having with her mom about how some rappers take shitty diamonds and make them pretty, which then sparked curiosity over her own bauble. After they broke up, she took the ring to a highly recommended jeweler and found the GIA certification, which described the stone as treated by one or more processes to its color change. So then... She said the jeweler told her that the diamond was, quote, most likely brown before the treatment, and he placed the stone in the teens as opposed to the $150,000 price tag from the original jeweler, Richie Rich. Lala said, I love any type of ring that is given and has sentimental value. I don't care if it was $100. I don't care if it was $100 million. I don't. No wonder he, whose name we shall not mention, flew in 4 times. He had to make sure the shit brown diamond was clear. Who is that? I don't know. I have to listen.
Randall.
Oh, really? I guess he would be he. Who else would it be?
Yeah.
Anyway, she continued talking about just like this complete betrayal that she feels towards him. She reflected on her relationship and said, I just wondered how I could feel so safe with someone and to have a conversation about starting a family with him. She added that him making me feel safe enough to bring this beautiful, innocent life into this world is hard.
Yeah.
It haunts me daily, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she always knew certain things about him and she was like very upfront with that, but I don't think she ever really thought that so much of the relationship was fraudulent.
Yeah, I agree. I reading this article, and I'm sure when I do listen to this episode, like, I think it's like every single thing that we've seen is a lie. And she said, she said the only truth I feel that existed in my relationship was me and my daughter Ocean. Like everything else is a lie.
Well, you know what? I think, you know, it's his finances have been questionable because, yes, he's like a movie producer, but the flying private and all this stuff never fully sat right. Because, like, his most recent movie was like an epic failure. We just spoke about that. And I don't see him doing like tons of, you know, high grossing films. So I don't think he's broke by any means, but I think he was definitely living beyond his means.
Yeah, definitely. And to just like, I mean, you can get someone any ring of any size, color, quality.
Doesn't matter.
But to be dishonest about what it is, you know, then you have a dishonest relationship.
Right. It's always the cover up. Like, it's the lie. I don't think she really cares that like she had a sick. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it was nice security knowing you have $150,000 on your hand if you ever need to flee. But it's the lying that's like most hurtful.
Yeah, but if he said like this was all I could swing right now, I love you and I want to marry
course.
You, like there would be no nefariousness.
No, it's always like the lack of honesty is always the biggest problem. Always.
Yeah, I agree. So, anyways,
that's
this
so
is
shocking.
Shocking. I'm thinking of Lala and little baby Ocean.
But I have to say, I'm actually think she's handling this business wise in a really like smart way because. You know, I hadn't really heard much about her podcast, but I constantly, like now on a daily basis, see her podcast being referenced, things she's doing, saying. And, you know, she has a business to run now. She has a family to take care of. And podcasts can be extremely lucrative if you have a big audience. So, you know what? Like, I think it's actually extremely smart.
Yeah, I agree. And she's doing a good job of, like, teasing stuff and...
Right, she's doing no interviews. Like, she's not giving this to Daily Pop. Like, she's doing it all on her own platform, owning it, making money off of it, and that's what she has to do.
Well, she also did Melissa Gorga's podcast and was talking about it with her.
Good. But, you know, the fanfare eventually does die down, so, like, you need to, like, kind of milk it.
Yeah. No, I think that she's being extremely savvy, and she was just talking about, like, that she doesn't even know how she has the strength to, like, continue... Right now, like, you know, just to keep putting one foot in front of the other based on everything that she's finding out, which is...
Yeah, but you know what? It's actually great that she has her baby because if she didn't, like, it's really easy to fall into, like, a spiral and, like, drink or just, like, be depressed. But when you have a baby, like, that baby keeps you up, keeps you going. And so it's a blessing for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And now for our fifth and final story. Are you ready for it?
Is it the story that's brought to you by Papa and Barkley?
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of benefits of CBD, but it can be really hard to find reliable products. But we've got Papa and Barkley. They create award-winning CBD solutions for pain, stress, sleep, and everyday wellness. And unlike less effective CBD brands, they have an unmatched, clean, chemical-free, whole plant process with proven results. Papa and Barkley understands wanting the absolute best for the people we care about most. The founder, Adam Grossman, created the groundbreaking Relief Balm to ease his father's debilitating back pain. If you have back pain, Ben actually is having terrible back pain right now, you know like how desperate you can be for relief. And their CBD Relief Balm delivers hours of comfort with simple plant-based ingredients. In an at-home test use with over 300 participants, users reported a 40% reduction in daily discomfort just in 1 week of using the balm. Their award-winning CBD oil, Relief Drops, is their fastest metabolizing daily wellness for easing daily stress, discomfort, and supporting a good night's sleep. So there's so many benefits to CBD, but like we said, it can be really hard to find like products that are reliable, and Papa and Barkley is proven good. They are on a mission to improve lives through CBD in its purest, cleanest form possible. Go to papaandbarkley.cbd.com/toast for 20% off your first purchase. So that's papaandbarkleycbd.com/toast, P-A-P-A and Barkley, B-A-R-K-L-E-Y, cbd.com/toast for 20% off their products. papaandbarkleycbd.com/toast for 20% off your first purchase. I've personally tried a lot of CBD brands in the past, and I can say Papa and Barkley is proven, and it's really great for back pain. If you're struggling, I have like, you know, bad lower lumbar support. CBD is a great alternative, and Papa and Barkley CBD is great. So that's papaandbarkleycbd.com/toast, 20% off your first purchase.
Great. Our fifth and final story is a little casting news, because the first photos of Amanda Seyfried as Elizabeth Holmes have dropped. Oh. And she is looking the part. So ever since Hulu announced it was turning Elizabeth Holmes' story into a series back in 2019, we have been anxiously awaiting new developments. On December 15th, we finally got our first look at Amanda Seyfried as the one and only Theranos founder, black turtleneck and all. If you guys remember, Kate McKinnon was originally supposed to play Holmes, but she later dropped out of the project and Amanda Seyfried replaced her. I don't remember reading the news that Amanda Seyfried replaced her, but after seeing this photo, it is so on point. I think she's going to do a great job.
Yeah, visually, I think it definitely works.
Yeah. So as you guys know, the trial is happening right now, and The Dropout, the show on Hulu, is based on the podcast, ABC's podcast, that's out now. So the show airs on March 3rd, 2022. I watched the documentary, and it's a pretty crazy story. So I will probably watch this, especially if it's like well acted and well produced, to see what happens. Hopefully by then there's like, you know, an ending to the story in the trial.
Right. I never watched the documentary, so I don't feel like involved in this at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to tell you to watch it just because it was a really good documentary, but you're not
like... I feel like I missed out on all the fanfare.
No, but the fanfare is happening right now. It really is. And especially with the trial, everybody's talking about it. It's hard to keep up with like so many trials right now. Like, why is it just a season?
No, so many trials. But, you know, thankfully two of them we've crossed off our list, Juicy and Josh Duggar. But we're still keeping our eye on Ghislaine, and we're still keeping our eye on Theranos.
Yeah. Yeah, but for me, like, the Theranos one has definitely slipped through the cracks. So that's why I'm excited to re-up in March and get caught up on what's been going on.
Yeah. I feel like we have – the Ghislaine trial has been, like, pretty quiet recently. But I think they've been on, like, break until today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I just haven't heard anything since those, you know, Queen Elizabeth Andrew House pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember the last I heard, but I agree it's been really quiet.
Yeah, but no surprise.
No surprise.
So those were the Fast Five stories. And do you feel as though?
I feel as though everybody needed to know them. And now I feel ready to launch into Real Housewives of Orange County recap.
Okay, so last night was Real Housewives of Orange County episode after the major dinner party from hell. And it was quite shocking. I think obviously the most shocking moment, everyone was, you know, things were happening. People were meeting, they were chatting, they were making up, they were getting into fights. But when Noella called Shannon and just dropped the absolute bomb that her husband fled to Puerto Rico and filed for divorce, that was like some OG Housewives shit. Like, what?
Yeah, it's, I mean, that in itself is a really interesting story that I look forward to delving into. And thankfully, in the two episodes that I've known her, I like Noella and I'm here for her journey and I'm interested. But to sign onto a reality show and then literally 2 days later, like your husband is leaving you, you have these tax liens, IRS, et cetera. Like, it's just, it's suspect. I'm not understanding fully everything. And it's like, is this a coincidence? No. Like, did your husband put you on the show? Because, you know, as we've seen before, he wanted to give you something as a parting gift, even though he's given her absolutely nothing. And like, she doesn't even have a credit card right now. So I'm just like a little bit, we've seen this so many times that now I'm like cynical.
You're suspicious.
And I'm suspicious. I am. And I'm not suspicious of her because I think she's like a really sweet, great girl. And I think that all of the emotions she's experiencing are extremely genuine. I'm just suspicious of like the timing. It's so, so weird. You had this perfect, charmed life and then you signed up for a reality show and a week later, like it comes crashing down in every sense.
You know, the timing is insane, but I agree. It's like it felt super genuine from her, especially with all that tax stuff that came out first. And I thought it was like cool that we were getting her in her tax drama. I never thought we would be getting her in her divorce era.
Yeah. So it's really weird. And I also feel like Gina did something similar. You know, she knew she her husband was like, you know, having this affair. And the whole first season, she was like covering up for him. But like a lot of women like come on the show like to get divorced.
To get out.
Yeah, which I think makes a lot of sense. But the way that she's acting, like, you know, 2 days ago, they had the perfect life. And 2 days later, it's, you know, down the tubes and it happens to all be on television. I just am now suspicious.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, I've never seen in real time, like, housewives inviting one another over. Like, when Shannon and Gina were out to drinks and they invited Noella over because they were, like, worried about her. And she, like, got dressed in 30 minutes and came. That was just crazy because I've just never seen that. Like, those scenes are also staged and, like, timed out. Yeah. That I was really shocked to see her just get dressed and come.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's about a few things. One, I think the women of Orange County, like, truly go out with each other every night. Like, even in the off season. And that's why, like, you know, the conversation between, like, Shannon telling Gina and Emily about the Dubrow lawsuit, like,
was off camera.
Aired because they literally just like go out to drinks every night. I feel like last year also, like, with Bronwyn and everyone, like, even before the season started, like, they had all of this stuff because, like, they actually hang out. And it's also a testament to how absolutely stunning Noella is that she can just walk out of her house no makeup, like, go from crying to the club and she looks incredible. I mean, I couldn't personally, and I think a lot of women probably wouldn't never. Especially because there's cameras there.
Right. And, like, everyone's, like, talking about you because your husband is, like, somewhat of a local celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, she's just, like, so, so beautiful. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll just swirl out of bed and let's get a drink.
Yeah. So I felt like there was something really missing from this episode, and that's any sort of accountability on Nicole Weiss for still lying about the lawsuit. So I think there's a lot of people to blame, but for some reason, and I think probably the person who holds bears the most responsibility and has the most, like, things to apologize for is the one person not being held accountable by anyone. And that's the thing. Like, even though I don't agree with Shannon's, like, methods, she's the only one still being, like, and I still stand by the fact that it's really weird that Nicole was suing Terry 20 years ago and Heather doesn't know about it. And it is weird. Why is nobody else talking about that?
Yeah, I agree, like, that she's, like, known this and was her friend and didn't bring it up. It seems like the lawsuit was really, like, didn't go anywhere. Maybe it was brought up and then, like, immediately dropped. And so I don't think it had any bearing on Terry in reality.
But he knew her name. He said, "You're Nicole Weiss." Like, it was obviously something.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree. But it's such a weird thing because the way I thought I would have felt, like, was like, oh, my God, like, once this is exposed, like, drag her. Like, how could she be in your house when she sued you, tried to take your house away? And now it's like, no, this is someone's, like, personal medical history. Now we all know that she had this, like, really bad experience 20 years ago. Yeah. And it's like, I shouldn't know that. So whoever told me that is wrong.
When Nicole said straight to Shannon and was like, you know, there's whatever it is that you feel like sharing my personal medical history, I completely agree with. But but it is also just gossip. So, like, I don't know. I just think there's, like, a little bit of accountability on Nicole's part that, like, is not being required, which makes me feel weird.
Yeah. And so now it's, like, I don't know how Shannon and Heather are going to get to a better place. And I don't know how Nicole and Emily are going to move forward either. Because everyone else is,
the thing is, Nicole is not a full-time housewife. Like, I don't think she needs to be on good terms with Emily. Like, she's not really in the main drag.
That's true.
I fucking love Emily. Like, I think her home scenes are just fascinating. I love the dynamic of her kids having mature conversations about religion. And I just literally, like, would die for her. And the thing is, we got, like, similar amounts of personal footage from Emily and Jen. And, like, Jen absolutely has to go. She is giving me nothing in the group settings and everything in the personal settings, which is the worst.
She has to go. I completely forgot about her, and it would have been another recap where we didn't even mention her if you didn't bring her up. The fact that she's a housewife and Nicole isn't, like, that's where things right. don't make sense to me. Also, when they unnecessarily gave us a close-up of that man's jaw and a needle going into it, and it was, like, with no warning, like, they just, like,
oh my God, totally
raw dogged it. I was like, are you crazy? Are you crazy?
It was nuts.
It was nuts. Like, all one scene, we're having lunch. Next, there's a needle in a man's jaw.
Went in very rough.
This is a nip tuck.
Oh, no. Just remembering it sends a chill down my spine. Yeah, it was really gross.
And, like, she's who was nothing. That guy? Why do I care about his jaw?
Her first three episodes of a housewife are a total failure. I'm open to her growing in different ways, but maybe on, like, a group trip. But for right now, it's like there's this big group of people and they're not really all connected yet. But there's, like, these little nucleuses inside of, like, different groups, different connections. And she's not a part of it whatsoever.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't really see, like, myself falling for her. But unless there is a grave injustice that occurs and only Dr. Jen is taking up the mantle right. of justice, that's how I could be turned around. Her husband should put a shirt on because, like, yep. it's so odd that he's never wearing one. I don't get it.
Yeah. And it's, like, not to be ageist, but, like, come on, grow up. Like, we're old, we're adults. Like, put your shirt on.
You know, like, we get it. Like, you're shirtless.
We get it. You live by the water.
No, but, like, that's not a personality trait, you know?
Totally.
And then I just want to say, in regards to Heather and that text she sent to Shannon.
Ooh, she read her to filth.
Read her to filth. I would never want to be on the receiving end of a text like that in my life. It was in such a crazy text message. Like, SAT words, condescension.
Oh, the vocabulary.
It had everything.
And you know what? Heather, like, was not in this episode, like, at all, except for that scene with Terry.
Yeah. But that's and Heather. You know, she's never meant to be, like, she's not the main course.
Yeah, she's not the main course. You know what? I actually really appreciated Terry telling everyone he does his own Botox because I was thinking, you look very different and I couldn't put my finger on it, but he's injecting himself with Botox. If I was around that much Botox, I would do the same.
Yeah, no, he's done a lot of self-work and that is clear.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Yeah. But, and I'm glad that he was honest about it, as I'm also glad that Shannon was real about those 6 vials of fillers that she got.
Oh, you know, I thought that was interesting. And, you know, interesting that she didn't go to Dr. Jen.
Yeah. No, I thought that was really interesting because she did look really different and she still looks kind of different. But then also, she didn't like how it looked, but she's also still getting injections. Like, what was she injecting?
She was getting injected with dissolver.
Oh.
That's what the woman said. So she had all this filler under her eyes that, like, swallowed her face. So that she had already done it once and she really liked the results. So she did more dissolver to dissolve the filler that she didn't like at the reunion last year.
Got it. Oh, my God. It is just, like, a never-ending thing when you are getting injectables.
No, plastic surgery is just never-ending.
It's never ending. And, like, you go over, so then you do more to take it away, but then you're doing even more. Like, it's just...
Yeah. It's a toxic, toxic, vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle, for sure.
So I think that this series has really bounced back, like, in a fresh, great way. I was very skeptical. But now a few episodes in, I can say I'm actually really, like, looking forward to and enjoying it.
Me too. Agreed. This is
and
like,
they're doing just a better job of making OC look like a fun, cool place to live.
100%.
For some reason, like with Bronwyn and Kelly, it was like, what is this sad town? Like, why are we filming a reality show
no,
here?
I,
and now it's like every restaurant is elevated, all the outfits, like it's much more chic and luxurious.
I completely agree. The restaurants are like popping. It's like, are we going to be able to hear the conversation over all this excitement that's happening at the restaurants?
Yeah, literally.
And you know what? It really, and I enjoy it even more because of like in the COVID shadow in so many other shows.
Right.
Like, I feel like they're really living in a post-COVID world and it's a pleasure to watch.
It's a pleasure.
And those are my thoughts.
While this is our second to last episode of the year, I did feel like it would only be right to do something we haven't done in a while.
What's that?
Deliver a little of Kelly's mindless news like the 4th of July. Because, you know, she's been...
Do it.
We haven't been, like, you know, reporting on it, but that doesn't mean she hasn't been being mindless, you know? Don't forget that.
Yeah. No, I would
and
never...
I need to know
what she's been up to.
I'm so glad you asked, Jackie. Kelly's Mindless News is brought to you by Hydro Jug. You guys have got to get your hands on the water bottle everyone is talking about, the Hydro Jug. One of our new favorite items, these durable and reusable jugs hold more than half a gallon of water, so you will stay hydrated all day long. We love the Hydro Jug because, like we said, it holds half a gallon of water. You can hydrate more and refill less. It has a leak-proof seal. The water stays inside the bottle. It has a wide mouth opening, which makes it super easy to add fruit or ice, or if you want to add some flavoring, it's just really easy. It also has a carry loop, which is an option to make it more easy to carry. It is dishwasher safe, BPA-free, shatter-proof. It's just everything of the sort. And if you want to stay hydrated, have fun, be chic while doing it, check out the Hydro Jugs. You could choose from three different Hydro Jugs, the Pro, the Stainless, or the Glass. You can customize your hydrating experience, which is one of the best parts of the Hydro Jug. And it makes a perfect holiday gift because there's a color for everyone. They're super affordable and everyone needs a water bottle. So give the gift of hydration this year. Go to thehydrojug.com and use the discount code TOAST to get 10% off your offer today. So that's Hydro Jugs at thehydrojug.com. So THEHYDROJUG.com. Code TOAST to get 10% off your order today. Thehydrojug.com. Start hydrating today. All right. Here's Kelly, and here's why she's being mindless. And today's mindless news actually comes from an extremely reputable, well, not extremely, but a much more reputable news source, because we're usually going to Hello Magazine. It's giving good housekeeping. Today, People Magazine is disgracing themselves. Mm. Here's the headline. Kelly Ripa is done wearing skinny jeans. And Mark Consuelos approves. I like your boyfriend jeans. So thank you, Colleen Cratafil, for writing this gorgeous article that goes like this. Like many others who hunkered down at home and found themselves trading sweats for workwear amid the COVID-19 pandemic, Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos experienced the highs and lows of dressing in pre-pandemic pieces again. During Wednesday's episode of Live with Ryan and Kelly, Ripa's husband of 25 years, Consuelos, filled in for co-host Ryan Seacrest, where they got into the topic of shopping out of their closets. I'm very excited. I fit into my jacket that I haven't been able to fit into since we started this whole madness a year and a half ago, Consuelos said, ever the relatable king. Adding, I started shopping in my closet again, to which Ripa replied, isn't that the best? Oh my God. While Ripa says when she looks at Consuelos, she doesn't see that he may have trouble fitting into certain items like a suit he tried on the other day. He concurred, yeah, we're all going through it. But for Ripa, the pandemic meant taking time to finally purge certain pieces from her closet. Here's the statement of the century. Do you know what I finally did? I finally parted with things that were just a pipe dream, she said. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I'm not doing it anymore. This is a thing of the past. This is never going to happen for me again. And TikTok says it's inappropriate for me to wear these things. But that doesn't mean everything was tossed, according to People Magazine. Kelly continued, I have clothing that is older than my kids, and they are some of the best pieces of clothing I have. I will never part with them, even if it means I have to add them, have them restitched at times. Sometimes I have to let them out. Sometimes I have to get them taken in, which is celebratory. Oh, so toxic, Kelly. But I never part with anything ever that's not begging to be parted with. I don't need skinny jeans anymore because my boyfriend jeans now fit like skinny jeans. One of the blessings of COVID. Oh, Kelly, ever the relatable, sustainable queen.
No, you sharing this, like, I feel seen. I feel empowered. Right.
I was worried before, like, I was going to clean out my closet, but I was like, Kelly Ripa hasn't cleaned out her closet yet, so how could I possibly do that?
Right.
And now with this information that I have, knowing that she found the courage and the strength to clean out her closet, like, my weekend just got, like, jam-packed. I'm cleaning out my closet.
No, totally. And will you be wearing your boyfriend jeans as skinny jeans?
Well, I don't have that problem. That's one thing me and Kelly kind of differ from. Like, my skinny jeans, Kelly's skinny jeans would be gloves on me.
Okay.
Like, that's where we differ. But that's what I love about Kelly. She's constantly making us all feel like our true selves.
Yeah. No, we're all in the same boat.
Thanks to Kelly. So that was the Kelly's Mindless News. That was our show. One more before the year's over, Jackie. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling excited. I'm really looking forward to putting this year, you know, behind us in the rear view. It's like, personally speaking, it's been, you know, such a exciting year, and I look forward to what's next. But I feel like overall, as a year in general, it's not good.
I wouldn't say, coming off of 2020, it was obviously better than that, but it wasn't the year we thought it was going to be. Like, it was still, like, kind of torturous, this, like, interim period where, like, we can go, but we can, and we still have COVID. Like, it wasn't nearly as bad as 2020, but it was low-key, like, boring, uneventful.
I don't know if it was any better than 2020. I think there was, like, maybe more optimism going into it, but
Definitely better. Like, I got to do shows. You didn't, but I went to concerts.
That is true. Yeah. I just, like, at ending this year in the way that we are, I'm just, like,
back in quarantine,
worried about 2022 as well.
No, totally.
You know, because it doesn't feel like we're making any progress.
But we are. We are. I have to hold on to that small bit of hope. Please don't take that away from me.
Okay, I'm not going to take that away from you. If you want to be an optimistic queen, I love that for you, and I will support you, and I won't, you know, I won't let you know what's going on.
That is our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. If you made it to the end of this episode, thank you so much for, like, actually listening to us. We really feel heard. And to let us know that you made it to the end, why don't you go drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram, perhaps a pair of jeans to honor the ones Kelly can no longer fit into.
Thank you guys
so much. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.